Today's guests, the Flawless Execution Team, Afterburner Inc. You're listening to the Eagles Talent Podcast. Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain.
You can find us online at www.eaglestalent.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Eagles Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Sheldon Senek. I'm so glad you could join us today. Remember, you can listen to our podcasts on our site, eaglestalent.com, or subscribe to them on iTunes. Simply type Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau in the iTunes search. If you have any questions or comments about our show, be sure to let me know, either on Facebook, and again, look up Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, or follow me on Twitter, and my address is SS_EaglesTalent. When you're a military pilot, it's all about precision, strategy, and flawless execution. But how can you translate that into your business model? Well, the team at Afterburner Inc. has found a way. I recently sat down with three team members of Afterburner Inc., Jim Murphy, the CEO and co-founder, Tracy Jacquio-LaTourette, and Patrick Lips-Houlihan, to talk about how they help organizations one mission at a time.
First, I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this podcast. Murph, let's start with you. Some speakers enter a room, suit and tie, and they're there to talk about leadership and the six tips to improve a company's production. And then there's Afterburner Inc., former U.S. Armed Force pilots, men and women who have flown multi-million dollar machines of speed and power. I would imagine you guys are a tough act to follow. Where did this idea to create this organization come from?
Well, actually, I had worked in the business world before I became a fighter pilot, and I was a salesman for about 2 years selling copiers in small rural communities in central Kentucky, and then joined the Air Force. And most people don't realize this, but when our young men and women are selected to go to pilot training, the selection process is very, very tough, but the training is accelerated, meaning in just 18 months, I was flying one of the most sophisticated jets on Earth, a $60 million F-15, and I was there with some of the best pilots in the Air Force, the top selectees, and I just realized, wow, in 18 months, I went from basically selling copiers door-to-door in rural communities in Kentucky to flying one of the most sophisticated jets on Earth. And I thought to myself at that point, if I would have had just 1/100th of this training around flawless execution, the alignment, the esprit de corps, the attention to detail that I learned in those short 18 months, if I could have had some of that training when I was working in corporate America, think how effective corporations could be. So I was inspired very early in my fighter pilot career to start really paying attention to the performance process that the Air Force, Navy, and Marines utilize to train our young men and women fighter pilots. And I knew then that I wanted to then parlay that into corporate America and teach companies globally how to use these tools and techniques to execute their business missions.
Afterburner has become such a tremendous success, not only in the message, but your unique approach. But it makes me wonder, there's a language you speak in military and a language you speak in business. How do you get organizations to understand your language? And the other way around, how do you get Afterburner team members to translate their military language?
Well, I think that's a great question. I mean, that's the fun in Afterburner. It's experiential training. I mean, we bring our audience members into our world, the fast-paced world of fighter aviation, elite military professionals. And we have taught what we call the flawless execution model for over 15 years. Now, although this model was born in the roots of the zero tolerance for error world of military aviation, it's a business model. And we trained over 1 million people through this model now. And during our one-hour keynotes, our half or full-day experiential seminars and team-building events, We customize our message very specific to the business vertical or the actual business language for that particular client, and we relate that to our language, and the language then becomes the client's language of flawless execution.
Lipson and Jackio, I have a question for each of you. How did you guys get into flying these speed machines, and also, what was that experience like the first time you had the controls?
Well, I graduated from college and entered the Marine Corps as an officer and just thought that flying airplanes would be kind of an interesting thing to do. I had no idea where it would take me or what I'd end up doing. You know, I'd be flying 18 Hornet and end up going to Top Gun and multiple deployments. It's just been a real joy. But I think the best part of flying really was when I became an instructor and I started teaching new air crew how to fly. Huh. And like Murph said, to be able to parlay that skill set into the business world as well, to teach organizations how to improve their execution, really has kind of closed the loop on my career and really, in my mind, made it successful.
And, for me, as an Air Force Academy grad, it was really great to get to start pilot training. I actually did 5 years as an AWACS weapons controller first, where my job was to tell pilots where to go on the radio, basically. But so I went to pilot training and have the bulk of that career has been in the F-16 and have thoroughly enjoyed that. But I have to tell you, I think one of the neatest things besides the feeling that you get when you pull out onto the runway and you pop it into afterburner and you're thrown back into your seat, you know, and you're airborne and it 20,000, 30,000 feet, you know, in the blink of an eye, you know, pulling 9 Gs, all that kind of stuff. Besides the rush that you get just from flying the airplane, I think one of the neatest things has been, for me, deploying around the world and getting to see that because we have such a standardized language within the Air Force, and whether it's Guard, Air Force, or Reserve, whether it's Air Force or Navy or even Marines, to be able to walk into a room with fighter pilots from other units and other jets, other airframes, and to be able to sit down at the table and to function immediately as a cohesive team, that to me is such a powerful thing, and I think that's why we're a strong military nation. To be able to transfer that into the corporate world and help organizations be able to have that same kind of cohesive unity has really been a rush for me.
And I have a question, Jackie. As a female, do you think there's more pressure involved in becoming a pilot?
I think the difference is that you do have tend to stand out a little bit just because there's more hair under the helmet.
Right.
but you have to work just as hard, and I think you just like everybody else, you have to prove yourself every single day. You know, you're never there. You've never made it. Every day you step into that jet, you've got to prove yourself time and again to yourself and to the guys you're flying with. So there's never room to relax or rest on your laurels, and I think that's you're going to find that's true with everybody.
Patrick Lips, I understand you just returned from a mission in the Middle East. Am I correct?
I did. I actually about this time last year we were coming home, so it was a pretty recent deployment. And in fact, it was the last fixed-wing fighter squadron that the Marine Corps was going to send over there.
And can you tell us a little bit about that experience going over there?
Well. Outside of a political sense, you know, from the Marine Corps standpoint and flying over there, what was really interesting is that I was active duty in the Marine Corps till about 2004. Then I came out of the Marine Corps. I've been flying in the reserves, and that's when I started working with Afterburner. So I have coming up on 6-7 years of experience at Afterburner. But what I found was interesting about going back full time was just how the parallels between the business world and the missions I was executing now. Hmm. Obviously, flying at night with special operation forces and going out and hunting bad guys is different than capturing a client in terms of your end result. But the process is still the same. You still have to line up your objective, make sure it's clear, measurable, achievable, identify the threats, the resources. So what I found really interesting from the standpoint of Afterburner was it validated and confirmed the process that what we teach is, it's definitely in line. It's definitely something companies can use. The same process we use in the military is definitely transferable to the business world.
Murph, I spent some time reading your book that you wrote in 2005, Flawless Execution. And this book title is, it seems to be the core structure for Afterburners. What I love is you somehow are able to remove the politics that can often appear in business and focus on achieving goals and becoming successful. Can you and Jackie Owen Lips briefly talk about the principles of flawless execution?
Absolutely. At the heart of flawless execution is, you know, organizational alignment. A lot of companies rely on an individual or a certain product or service to get their EBITDA or their net revenue to an acceptable level year in and year out. So, you know, they think individual execution is going to get them there, that their maverick product or service will make it happen. But we know in today's economy, individual execution is one thing, organizational execution is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you align an organization, line of sight, from your strategic objectives all the way down to what's happening at the troop level day in and day out? And that revolves around something that we call execution rhythm. And that is, how do we ensure there's transparency and accountability on the daily, weekly, monthly actions that support those strategic initiatives? And as fighter pilots, that disciplined rigor, that transparency, is driven through a process that we call the flawless execution cycle. We believe that each one of your business missions should be planned, briefed, executed, and debriefed on a regular basis. And I think the debrief is the key to that political pushback that you're talking about in business, because we teach companies that, you know, you do have objectives and you're holding people accountable for those expectations. But until you get into a room when the mission is over and actually take the rank off of everybody's shoulders and really focus on what actually happened, the results, based on what you said you were going to do, your objectives, in a nameless, rankless environment, and look at the cause and the root causes of the successes or the failures, until you get to that point in your business, you're never truly going to improve the next mission and continuously improve. And we believe that our process, that transparency, that discipline, will keep a small or large organization one step ahead of the competitive rate of change in the environment every single day, instead of waiting once a quarter, once a half, or once a year like most companies do.
Preparation. Whether it's gearing up to fly or plotting a mission, preparation seems so essential. Over the past year, the economy took its toll, and there was a strong need for preparation for companies to restructure or figure out where opportunities are. Obviously, the goal is to come out on top. But how important is preparation when things like the economy, as we hope, is getting better? How important is preparation when things are going well?
When things are going well, I think that's, you know, if you think back to 2007, 2008, which I just worked with a financial company, and they called it the big meltdown. Too often, companies, just people in general, when things are going well, they start to slip. They start to, their processes start to fall off the table, and they don't do the same things day in and day out that led them to that success in the first place. And that's when, you know, the economy falls or a competitor sneaks up on them. They turn around and they go, well, what happened? Well, you know, that they didn't stick with their standards and their SOPs and their checklists that they were using that got them there in the first place. You know, Jack Yeo said it best by saying that we always have to prove ourselves as fighter pilots. It doesn't matter male, female, or what service you're flying in. And not only, and that's just an internal thing as well. And as companies, you're only as good as your last sale or the last client you gained or your last quarter. And so as fighter pilots, and what we teach our companies is that you always have to be prepared, because you never know when something's going to happen. And even when things are successful, that's when you really want to make sure that your systems and your processes are tight and operating very efficiently, because everybody's expecting and hinging on that. And if something happens and you fall off the map, then the repercussions can be quite extraordinary. So preparation is something that we definitely take into account, and it's really the beginning of the flawless execution model with the planning phase.
You know, Lips, something occurred to me too, adapting. And you had mentioned something earlier about doing a night mission. And I kind of thought of this, how important is adapting to a situation when you're in the air? And how can you translate that to business?
What's interesting about adapting to missions, the squadron that I went to Iraq with was out of Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've ever been to Dallas, Texas, there is no sand. There are no deserts. There are no mountains. And so this squadron ends up in Iraq flying at night with sand, deserts, and mountains on night vision devices. And one of the things that we do in terms of preparation and flexibility and planning for contingencies is through our debriefing process, which happens within our squadrons, within the services as a whole, we come up with lessons learned. And those lessons learned, those best practices, we just don't hold them from that particular event. If they're good enough, they are translated and they are moved throughout the organization. So the way we're able to adapt quickly is that we learn from each other.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that there are things that Jackie's squadron has learned from Iraq or from their deployments that has permeated into the Marine Corps that we've taken on ourselves. So it goes across services and within our organizations. And that's one of the things that we teach at Afterburner is that to be able to adapt quickly and to be get ahead of that competitive rate of change, you have to capture those lessons learned. And the only place that those come from is if you hold what we call nameless, rankless debriefs. And if you do that and spread that information, then your organization will be able to adapt much more quickly than your competitors, which we have seen time and time again when we're flying our aircraft. And it's the same thing we've seen with the companies that we work for.
Jackie, do you think that CEOs and management can sometimes complicate plans too much? And what can you do about that?
That's a great question. Sure, just like, you know, in the military, you know, if you focus too much on, you know, if you get too much rank, I guess, in the room, that can actually kind of gum things up sometimes. That's why we have a very specific structure. We have a flight lead. We have a mission commander. Now, they may be the highest-ranking person in the room, but that could very well be a captain or a major as well, you know, similar to middle management in business. But obviously, you know, the presidents, the CEOs, you have to obviously honor their vision and where they want the organization to go. That's why the flawless execution model is so great, because the leader's intent, that comes down to the middle management that's doing this, you know, that's actually out there doing the execution day in and day out. And without that leader's intent, you know, then you've got a situation where certainly, you know, the company could go any direction. But with a very clear structure, with the leader's intent passed down to whoever's leading the mission, then they know exactly what they're going to do in terms of the plan. They're given, to make it a little clearer, they're given a very specific mission objective. And that mission objective, first and foremost, they determine, is it clear, measurable, and achievable? And if it is, then they move forward and they do the rest of the six-step planning process. So, you know, the CEOs are obviously critical, but when it comes down to it, you know, when they step back and they're given an opportunity to have this kind of structure in place, then they have a great deal of confidence that their people are going to go out and execute as if the CEO was actually there saying, hey, this is what I want, that is what I want. So the nice thing is when you get into a situation where maybe communication is lost temporarily, you know, a clear vision, everybody's still going to execute towards that final goal that the organization is looking for. And Murph, I think, actually has a little clearer way to say all of that, but I'm kind of the long road to the mouth on that question.
You know, Sheldon, we get a chance to work with the C-suite a lot, and, you know, what we tell our business leaders is you need to keep your process simple. I mean, flying the F-15 is difficult. You know, there's 350 switches and dials. You're flying two times the speed of sound. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, just like launching a new product in an IT vertical or a specific role that many people shoulder in companies today. So the individual tasks are somewhat complicated and require great training and knowledge to pull these things off. But the process the organization utilizes as a whole to be successful should be simple. So it's scalable, which is what all C-suite executives want to do with their business. And it's something that everybody in the organization can fall back on in a chaotic situation, because in the chaos of battle, flying in an F-15 or an F-16 or an F-18 Hornet, you know, when things get complicated, you know, you want to make things as simple as you can, as quickly as you can, so people get focused back on the main mission. And that's what the flawless execution model does. we encourage a limited number of strategic initiatives, which we call centers of gravity, mm-hmm. which give the company or the organization their greatest bang for their buck. And then we identify the biggest execution gap standing in the way of what the management team would like to see happen and what's actually happening day in and day out down in the trenches of the business. And what we encourage companies to do is to take a mission objective that's supportive of that initiative and break it down two or three levels until it drives accountable action. So an example might be, yes, we want to create shareholder value, and something subservient of that is we want to grow the XYZ business unit 22.5% by the third quarter of this year. But the real mission objective is we needed to develop and deploy a new training program that will support the activities that will cause our salespeople to sell in a new way to lift that particular product, which mm-hmm. will give us the 22.5%, which will lift the shareholder value. We found out most companies do not get that transparent or fractal with their mission objectives, so they have very, very hard times holding teams accountable for the daily actions and activities. And we believe that's what flawless execution is all about.
When I think of the military, I think of the word discipline, but even more so, and I've heard you guys mention it a couple times, the word process. And I believe you probably agree, I'm sure, that in the military there's a process for everything. And am I right to say that that's something that you guys really work on with organizations, is the process?
Well, it's both the culture and the process, mm-hmm. and together that equates to leadership. I mean, if you really think about what you want your leaders to do, is you want them to be able to adapt to changes like you mentioned earlier, but you want them to be able to develop some sort of vision and create a plan, a call to action, and then hold people accountable, and then also update along the way to continuously improve. And if you really think about it, that's exactly what our model, the Flawless Execution Model, does. And if folks would adhere to the basic principles of that model, it is a guidepost or a beacon or a way of life for developing leaders. And it's pretty straightforward and simple.
Without a doubt, people in companies have to wear many hats. I hear this over and over, how the workload is enormous. I've heard it called task saturation. Lips, do you think there's a solution to this task saturation?
Absolutely. There's definitely a solution. And what's interesting, you mentioned many hats. As fighter pilots, we just didn't fly our airplanes. Mm-hmm. Not only did we have to learn our airplanes, our weapon systems, our competition's airplanes, their weapon systems, I was also in charge of 36 Marines, the whole flight line, the engines, over $300 million worth of equipment, the daily operations of the squadron from a maintenance aspect. So I'm switching a lot of hats, too. One minute I'm briefing up a flight. The next minute I'm counseling one of my junior Marines. So there was a lot of different hats we were wearing. And one of the things that we do through the Flawless Execution engine or model is when you talk about setting a mission objective, that sets what we call our attitude indicator. And in every business and in every situation, there is one thing that you want your people to stay focused on, whether it's customer satisfaction or it's EBITDA or it's the transformation that you're going under. And everybody has a lot of different things going on, emails, conference calls, new clients, old clients, HR issues, things of that nature. But as fighter pilots, when we're flying our airplane, we constantly come back to what we call our attitude indicator because it's an instrument that tells us where we are and where we're going. And when we talk to our clients, we help them develop their attitude indicator. What's the one thing you want your team to focus on when you're switching all these hats so you don't go down the wrong road? And I think a lot of times companies and organizations get so involved in the tactical that they just keep operating and they don't realize that they've gotten off track. Mm-hmm. And what we teach them as fighter pilots is that you have to handle the tactical right now, but still bring your head up and look out to the strategic vision, that future picture that your company's heading towards, and making sure that you and your organization and your department is heading in that direction.
You know, another thing about task saturation, to piggyback on Lips there, is, mm-hmm. you know, we always say that the first way you can tell as a fighter pilot that someone in another cockpit is becoming task saturated is they stop sounding cool on the radio, you know, and I think that's a really important part to remember about it, is that normally you're not the going to be the person that notices you're becoming task saturated first. It's going to be somebody around you. And if everybody's trained in the model, if everybody's trained in how to identify task saturation, and they're all very comfortable with the tools that we give them to combat these symptoms, then as an organization, you become so much stronger. You really have mutual support from that wingman, from that coworker that sees you starting to focus in on one particular thing. You know, we teach them how to task shed, how to task share, and we use checklists. We use talked about a little bit. You know, we use a nice cross check where we actually go in and prioritize the things that we have going on in our world before we become task saturated. So as those feelings of task saturation are starting to creep up, then we know what needs to be task shed or task shared, you know, off the bottom of that stack temporarily, so that we never lose sight of that attitude indicator, the number one thing that's going to keep our business flying, is going to keep our organization moving in the right direction.
Jackie O, you mentioned the phrase sounding cool. So do you guys pick your own call names, or is that given to you by your peers?
That's top secret.
We picked our own call signs. I think everybody would agree that we'd all, you know, sound a little tougher, a little cooler. I'm sure I wouldn't be Jackie O, but they actually come down from from the peers and folks within your squadron. Most organizations will have what they call a naming ceremony,
uh-huh.
And they decide, you know, they'll try out a few different call signs on you, and then eventually what sticks is usually something that either has something to do with your name or with something embarrassing or funny that you've done that you would prefer to forget, that others want to remember forever. Or, in my case, they call me Jackie O because I was Colorado's first lady fighter pilot. And I learned the hard way that you also don't want to fight it. If you don't, if they know you don't like your call sign, then it's probably going to stick.
Well, I have a question for you, both Lips and Jackie. How did each of you become involved in Afterburner, Inc.?
I became involved in Afterburner when I was leaving the Marine Corps in 2004. I started looking around at what I wanted to do, and I wasn't just doing a career change. I was doing a life change. And as I was researching different opportunities, I realized, you know what, very quickly that I hate to say this, but to all the other airline pilots, that is not what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to go out and really make an impact. And I started researching, and I read an article in the Wall Street Journal about the Wharton School of Business sending their MBA candidates to Officer Candidate School in the Marine Corps to learn about leadership. And I started to ponder that, and I thought about it, and I went, you know, I know what they're teaching. I know how they're teaching it. I can do that. So I started doing some research, and what's interesting is I was following the model that we teach without even realizing that I was following the model.
Mm-hmm.
I set an objective. I'm going to set up this organization. All right, who else is out there? Who's my threat? And I found Afterburner, and I gave Murph a call, and ended up being interviewed, and I figured, well, I might as well join him since he's 8 years ahead of me on this. And that's really how I got involved. And what I found is that the skills that I use as a fighter pilot, especially as an instructor,
mm-hmm.
is the exact same skill set that I use at Afterburner. Everybody's different. Every organization's different. Everybody learns differently. And so you have to sit there and be able to analyze real time whether or not you're getting through to this particular client or that particular person. You know, at Afterburner, we just don't throw this process out there and say, here, figure out how it works. We, as Jackie has said, we always evaluate ourselves highly, and so we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make sure that we provide the translation and we help guide our clients and show them how this fits within their particular organization. Every organization is different, and they may adapt it in different ways, and that's our responsibility. And that's why I love working here. It's a great job. I love the work. I love the clients we interact with, and I love making a difference within their business lives.
I got to agree with you, Lips. This is one of the best jobs I think anybody could ever have. And wow, for me, it was 11 years ago. Murph actually found me. It was pretty great. I was afforded the opportunity to interview and discovered Afterburner in that way. What an amazing organization. You know, I get to fly jets and turn and burn and pull G's with my hair on fire, and then to be able to go and translate, all of the skills, all the process, all the discipline everything that it takes to accomplish that and transfer that into a corporate America, and not just corporate America, but, you know, we're a global organization, to be able to go around and make that kind of a connection with an organization has been just so exciting. That's why after 11 years, you know, I still am excited every day that I wake up and I get to go meet a new client and make an impact on another organization. You know, I can't imagine anything better. The opportunity to make that kind of connection, and really, when you know, it's a rush flying jets, but when you take a company that is struggling or is in the middle of some sort of turmoil, and they come to you and they talk to you about, you know, what's hurting, what's not working in their organization, and how, you know, they think we can help them, to actually help them turn around and see them grow and see them thrive, you know, after, you know, after where they started, really is just such an amazing thing. I can't imagine ever doing another job.
Hey, Murph, from what I understand, there are three units to Afterburner Inc., Empower, Equipped, and Embed. Would you briefly talk about each of those?
Sure. I mean, most people think of Afterburner as a team-building company, and, you know, that's just barely scratches the surface of who we are and what we really do. I mean, the Empower side of our business is our seminar and keynote business.
Mm-hmm.
And we do between 250 and 300 keynotes and seminars a year, and we've done those in over 22 countries around the world. So that's a relatively large business unit for us. But we find out that most clients not only want us to come in our flight suits or with our Navy SEALs and our Black Ops folks — we have another seminar program called Black Ops with special operations folks — whether they want us to come in flight suits or digicamo and inspire, motivate, and align their audiences around flawless execution, most companies, before we leave, go, you know, we don't really have a culture of flawless execution. We're not really planning like that. We're not debriefing in a nameless, rankless environment. Show us how to instill these skills, these qualities into our business. So Equip is all about consulting and equipping people with the processes that you mentioned earlier. So that's our consulting wing, and that's where we show up in normal civilian attire after we're finished with our flight suit stuff. And we sit down with the clients over 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. We've worked with several companies for several years, embedding flawless execution methodologies within the company. We do that with consulting, corporate coaching, and also software. And then Embed, which is our third business unit, is permanent placement of elite military professionals, just like Lips and Jackie O. So what has happened over the last 15 years is, you know, we have a lot of companies that love the flawless execution process, but also fall in love with our people. And because they exude outstanding leadership, organization, teamwork, communication, and discipline skills that they learned from the military, and now they have great business skills. So we go out and identify those same exact people that we would try to hire at Afterburner. We train them in the flawless execution model, certify them in flawless execution, and then we actually place them permanently within our clients that are already utilizing us for consulting services.
Well, Murph, Jackie, and Lips, it's clear to me that when you guys walk into the room, that people recognize that passion. And when hearing you talk, there's a passion about it that you're able to carry from inside the cockpit to your presentation. And I think that's really unique. And just want to tell you that I sincerely appreciate you spending time with us today. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been our pleasure, Sheldon. And on behalf of the over 50 men and women, fighter pilots, and elite military professionals at Afterburner, we just want to wish all of your clients out there a great new year and a happy hunting in all their new endeavors.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, I've been your host, Sheldon Senek, and you've been listening to the Eagles Talent Podcast.